There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
And here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have y'all along on this beautiful Friday. A live local talk over the next couple of hours. Phone number, text line 343-0106. 343-0106. Get through to me there. Also, check us out online, fmtalk1065.com. Whether you can get podcasts of this show or the 40-plus hours a week of live local broadcasting we do, they're waiting for you there. Plus, you can subscribe at iTunes and Stitcher and a whole bunch of different platforms out there that carry podcasts. We'll talk about that down the road. But over on the website, you can go to the Moon Pie Minute tab. And when you're there, number one, you can listen to Moon Pie Minutes that have already aired. So you can binge listen and also look at the Mardi Gras schedule. Because Boom Boom in full effect tonight, both sides of the Bay, Mobile and Baldwin Counties. And we'll talk about that coming up. Plus the Moon Pie Minute, the story of Mardi Gras, as told by our own Rennie Brabner, just a few minutes away as well. All right. And yeah, beautiful outside. 56, a little chilly, but 56, I'll take it, as spring will be here soon enough. On today's show, lots to do, but the leadoff is going to be more on what we led off with yesterday on the program, when yesterday we were talking about what was at that point still ongoing or just ending, that committee meeting about HB 35, which is representative and candidate for AL1, Chris Pringle's bill, the GIRL Act, the Gender is Real Legislation Act, and it was being discussed in a committee meeting when it seemingly went off the rails. I told you I'd work to get the audio. Now, this audio recorded from somebody's phone in the audience there. We're going to run a little clip here, and then we're going to be joined by Representative Chris Pringle. So let's get that audio to get everything started and kind of set this up. This is from yesterday. They're having, you'll hear from an opponent of HB 35, and then John Rogers, Representative John Rogers, asked some questions himself. So let's go to that.
Scientific difference. So today I'm just asking that you please take a look at this. Don't vote with discrimination. Don't vote with hate. Vote with inclusivity and acceptance. There's nothing scientifically that proves that you have a competitive edge because you're transgender. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Does anyone on the committee have a question for this witness? Thank you very much. Wait a second. We do have one question.
Here comes John Rogers.
Thank you.
Yes, sir, I can hear you. It's fine.
Well, you know, I know one time it was discussed that they had a young lady participating in a track meet. I never remember, and she was transgender, but she was much faster. But she has some male hormones. That's not true, right?
It's not. Actually, just doing my layperson research, I was able to just research further. I've read some scholarly reports through Oxford University in my research that stated that once, from what my understanding was, is once transgender women start taking hormones to go through that transition, that completely nullifies any testosterone push that happened maybe in teenage years.
How are you going to know?
Sir, I read. I Googled scholarly reports.
Somebody transgender that they don't declare themselves. Mm-hmm. I've seen that by 20 football players are transgender. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, my favorite player, I was saying, is a guy who was transgender. They couldn't have read that.
Yeah, there's no scientific proof out there that has been determined to show that there has been a competitive edge for someone that is transgender. Period.
My favorite football player is being cut right now. I was hurt with it. I'm going to hurt, but he played plenty of football. But, yeah.
Who's your favorite player?
I don't call his name, but I don't want to get it out for you.
Well, see, that's something to do with privacy, right? And I think that also I do believe that people deserve that privacy, too.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So.
You hear some people in the background. Of course, this is just with somebody's phone commenting, trying to figure out what Representative Rogers was talking about. The 20 transgendered players in the NFL. They're trying to figure that out. And he said his favorite player was playing for the North Carolina Panthers. We figure out here, and a little further, that we're talking about none other than one time Auburn quarterback and Carolina Panthers quarterback Cam Newton.
Okay. So we've had six people speak in opposition, and the sponsor of the bill would like to respond, and then we'll move forward from there.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. First and foremost, this bill has not come out of hate or fear. This bill comes out of keeping the competitive balance where young women are trying to compete. They do their very best. I have here in front of me, I'm going to read this, two young women in Connecticut. They have to compete against transgenders. And these two transgender athletes have won 15 state indoor and outdoor championships between the two of them since they started competing as females. The girls they don't feel like it's fair for them to compete when they know the outcome of the race before the race even starts because of the athletes they're having to compete against who are identifying as female. Those athletes were born and raised with the benefit of testosterone in their system. That testosterone created a stronger muscle system than the girls have. And this is about compliance with Title IX and ensuring that young ladies get to compete fairly in their athletic events. It in no way prevents transgender athletes from competing in athletic events. It just says they have to compete under the gender assigned at their birth. They can still fully participate in any athletic event. Thank you. Appreciate you.
Now, it would be immature of me to mention the fact that the next voice on that audio, if we go the longer form later, is Representative Hollis, who introduced a bill about requiring men who have fathered their third child or have reached 50 years old to have a vasectomy. But I wouldn't talk about that because it would be immature of me. Hey, coming up, Representative Chris Sprinkle joins us right here on Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. So you heard the discussion yesterday as we were just kind of translating what was coming through the Twitter feed from Goat Hill. Then we got some audio, and then we got some more audio to start off this hour of a committee meeting and a discussion of HB 35, which most people know as the GIRL Act, the Gender Is Real Legislative Act. And it's actually a bill that was discussed when it was pre-filed by Representative Chris Sprinkle here on the show. And he's joining us again now that it's had some airing in the atmosphere of other members of the House. Thank you for your time, Representative Pringle. Thanks for being on.
Glad to be here, Sean.
So I was kind of explained to just a little civics lesson for folks, committee meeting versus the House. What was going on yesterday? Give us a setting.
The bill's up before the state government committee. As chairman of the committee, it's my bill, so I had to step aside and let my vice chairman couldn't preside because he had to leave, so we went to another representative to preside, and we had a public hearing. And you know, it's tradition in the Alabama House not to vote on the bill after a public hearing, to carry it over for a week.
And that's what you were asking to do, right? Carry it to this upcoming week in Montgomery.
Yeah, there was a little confusion right there, right at the end. Mm-hmm. But that's what happened. The bill was carried over to this week, and it's on the agenda. And it'll be before the Committee on State Government at 3:00 in room 206 in the State House on next Wednesday.
Right. So if somebody was, will they have another chance to speak, or will this not have the speakers like yesterday's?
No, we had the public hearing on it yesterday.
Okay, so that's finished. Let's talk about, of course, I'm drawn like a moth to the flame to some of the antics that went on during that discussion with your fellow representative, John Rogers, and maybe we'll get into that in a second. But I think we should reset here, and because people heard some of the audio, some of the people that were speaking out against the bill, people have been writing about it on social media, trying to say what it is. I see a note here from a local note here from a group in Mobile trying to define what your bill would do. Why don't I do this? You're the man that wrote the bill. Can you tell us what it says?
Well, I'll be glad to, because there's a lot of information about this bill, and as always, the liberals are accusing people like me of ignoring science, and basically, it is a scientific fact. There is a difference between men and women, boys and girls. This bill in no way prevents anybody from participating in athletics at all. What it simply says is you have to participate under the sex assigned to you on your birth certificate. It's just that simple. People can still participate. They just have to participate under the sex they were assigned on their birth certificate. And then they further go and say, this is not a problem. This is not a problem. He's just making this up. I'm like, if it's not a problem, why have these female athletes in Kentucky and in Connecticut filed federal lawsuits to block these transgender athletes who were at one time participating in athletics as boys, now they're girls, and they're winning all the championships? The girls don't have the girl in her lawsuit says, we know the outcome of the race before this even takes place because of the situation. They do not stand a chance of winning their athletic competition.
So
this is pending in federal court.
Right. So this hasn't come up yet in Alabama, it has come up elsewhere.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. There are federal lawsuits pending in Kentucky and Connecticut on this very issue.
So, and you said, I want to double back on this, because I heard some of the people speaking out against the bill yesterday saying you're keeping transgender athletes out of being able to participate in sports as they go through. But I heard you say no. In fact, as long as it's with the sex they were assigned to the birth, you're not saying they can't. If somebody was assigned a sex of a boy, and they now declare that they're a female, they can still compete in the boys' sports, right? They can still.
Yes. Exactly. There's no ban on that. Now, when you get to college, you get out of high school and you get the NCAA regulations, you're under a completely different set of rules where people of that age have transitioned, have gone through the hormone treatments, have gone through testosterone blockers, and taken estrogen. That's a totally different story for people over the age of 18 that have graduated from high, that have left high school and are competing at the college level.
And okay, that's one of the things I heard. The argument is, oh well, these trans women or trans men or they've been taking these blockers. For example, I'm going to just get narrow. There's a boy born a boy, now identifies as a girl, and he's taking, I guess they take estrogen or whatever, and that would make them even to the females that were born female that he's competing. She's competing against.
At what age? And how long has this athlete been taking the blockers?
Well, this is one of the and I'm going to interject this, because in looking at this, there's I think the age is important, because boys generally, there are plenty of exceptions. There are girls that can do better than boys for sure in a lot of sports, but generally, the boys were going to build a bigger muscle frame and a different kind of muscle frame early on. And then even if you took estrogen blockers, you would still have that body size, wouldn't you? I mean, you'd still have, estrogen, not testosterone block, you take estrogen, you'd still have that body size and that advantage.
That's exactly what we're saying. If your body develops with the benefit of testosterone coursing through your system, creating stronger bones and more muscle mass, it's not fair to go compete against a girl who does not have the same levels of testosterone. Because if a girl starts taking testosterone, they're not allowed to participate because it's considered a performance-enhancing drug.
So in female sports, if they take testosterone, they're banned from that sport?
Yeah, it's a performance-enhancing drug. Yes.
Now, okay. Now, this the people that stepped up yesterday were saying that that you're disenfranchised. Basically, I'm painting the picture here is there's kids in the state of Alabama that are now not going to get to compete in sports because of if this law would pass.
They can compete. They just can't, their senior year, decide they identify as a female and grow their hair out and go out on the track and start running track or go, you know, play any sport as a female. But they have to participate as the gender on their birth certificate. That's what's happened in Connecticut. Two athletes decided 2 years ago they decided they were going to start competing as females. Between the two of them, they've set 15 state records. They've won 15 state championships. The girls can't compete against them. And that's what we're trying to prevent in the state of Alabama, having people step up and say, no, this year I'm going to compete as a female.
Hey, just joining us, talking to Representative Chris Pringle, also running AL1 in the Republican primary here in Alabama. Schools now, a system in Alabama now, what could they do? If there was, let's say, a situation where you had somebody who's born a male and now they tell the school that they're going to compete on the with females. They want to be on the girls' team this, the girls' team that. How does it look in Alabama right now? What can they say? Yes, no, nothing, neutral? Where does it stand?
The Alabama High School Athletic Association has already addressed that. You cannot do it, to the best of my knowledge.
Okay.
And we're trying to make a law so we can keep it that way. Because remember, the High School Athletic Association is not a public entity, and therefore they can go with their board and do whatever they want to and not have to answer to anybody. There's absolutely no oversight to the High School Athletic Association.
Right, it's just it's not a government agency,
no.
Right? It's just a governing body only because people let themselves be governed, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
They answer to nobody.
All right. So this vote then is going to be once again. You had the date and time. You remind everybody when this is going to come up again.
It will be next Wednesday at 3:00 in room 206 at the state government committee.
All right. Can I just take a second for two things? Number one, I want to talk about the campaign, AL1 campaign. But first, did you realize, Representative Pringle, did you realize that there was Cam Newton and possibly 19 other NFL players were transgender before yesterday's conversation?
I have no clue what Mr. Rogers was talking about or where that came from. That's just Mr. Rogers. I don't believe, I don't know where that came from. I really don't. And what he was talking about had absolutely nothing to do with the bill that was before the committee.
And the way I'm reading this, that he arrived late to the meeting?
Oh, yeah. He came in and sat down, turned on his microphone, got recognized, and just started talking.
So he had, I guess in one quote I'd seen, he had said he was driving 100 miles an hour to get there.
John has a tendency to say things. I mean, he literally walked in the room late, walked straight up, sat down at the table, turned on his microphone, got recognized, and started talking. Didn't even open his binder to get to the bill and even look at the bill. So that's just John.
Okay. All right. I'm just trying to get a firsthand account of this. let's shift gears for a second here. Let's talk about AL1 and your campaign here. Last time you and I were talking about it, it was the ad that has so many people talking out there with you building this wall.
Well, sure. You know, I'm a contractor by trade. That's what I do. I'm a builder. So we're just, you know, talking about my profession, and I support President Trump. I think we need to build a wall. We have to secure our border. We have to stop the flow of illegal immigrants and the flow, particularly of illegal drugs that are killing our friends and our family, coming across that southern border. And I will support President Trump to build that wall, and I'll go to Washington and I'll get toe-to-toe with Nancy Pelosi and the squad and all the other liberals that are out to destroy the very fabric of this country.
Look like you're building, for just what I saw, Representative Pringle, it looked like you're building that wall straight across the front of Nancy Pelosi's office there.
Yeah, it was. Well, as we all know, the Capitol Police would not let me carry bricks under the Capitol. But yeah, it's, she's, what she's doing to the United States House of Representatives and the way she's running that institution, it's an embarrassment. She's destroying an institution. She's bringing shame on the Congress, and we need to get rid of her. And the way to get rid of her is to elect a Republican majority and let us move her out of that speaker's office.
All right. People want to get more information about your campaign. Less than 3 weeks here till primary. How do they do it?
Yes, PringleForCongress.com. Very simple. And you can find out all about me, sign up to volunteer, and we'd love to have you on our team. You can sign up for my leadership team on that website also, and we'd appreciate any and all help, your prayers and your support and your vote.
Okay, and so at this point, you cannot confirm rumors that Cam Newton will be there on Wednesday in Montgomery.
No. I will neither confirm nor deny.
Very good. Well said. Representative Chris Pringle and candidate for AL1. Thanks for your time, and we'll check back with you next week.
Great. Thanks, Sean. Appreciate you, buddy.
All right.
Bye.
Coming right back. Take your calls at 343-0106. 343-0106. There's even more audio from Representative John Rogers we could get into. We might.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Does DoorDash or the Uber Eats and all that stuff, do they do crawfish? I was wondering about that. You know, you can get all kind of food delivered. I mean, if we could get get 10 pounds or something of some boiled crawfish delivered, could we? I don't know. I mean, has anybody used any of those, not a place that has a delivery? I mean, that'd be great, but like a third party? Can you got the app? Can somebody look at what is it, Uber Eats or DoorDash or any of those, and see if there's an option there for getting, is there an option for getting crawfish delivered? This would be a good thing. Crawfish to the door, right? Just an idea. You could have the little, like the thing the pizza people have, that keeps the pizza, you know, the insulated bag box thing. You could have one, like a big one in a truck, and you put the crawfish in there and show up and crawfish to the door. Maybe somebody's taking my idea right now. We'll talk some more crawfish coming up next hour. It's just this time of year is just like you have to just think about crawfish all the time. Hopefully the prices are continuing to drop out there as we get later in the season, and then we could afford to have DoorDash or Uber Eats deliver our crawfish. Hey, this segment of the show brought to you by Stamps.com. Postage rates have gone up again. Thankfully, Stamps.com eases the pain with big discounts off post office retail rates. With Stamps.com, you save 5 cents off every first-class stamp. Pretty good. And 40% off shipping rates. That's great. That kind of savings really adds up, especially for a small business. Put Stamps.com on your computer because it's completely online. Of course, that saves you time. No trips to the post office. Stamps.com brings all the services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your computer. So whether you're a small office sending out invoices, an online seller shipping out products, even a warehouse sending thousands of packages a day, Stamps.com can handle all that with ease. Simply use your computer to print official U.S. postage 24/7, any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send it. Once your mail is ready, you just hand it to the mail carrier or drop it in the mailbox. It is that simple. Stamps.com is a no-brainer, saving you time and money. No wonder over 700,000 small businesses already use Stamps.com. And right now, y'all can get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale with no long-term commitment. Just go to Stamps.com and click on the microphone on the top of the homepage. When you do, type in my first name, Sean, S-E-A-N. Go to Stamps.com and enter code Sean, S-E-A-N. All right, phone lines open for you. Grab some text, too. 343-0106. All right. So Mark asked this question. And Mark, this is, I want to kind of look at, if you go and look at HB 35, the Girl Act legislation, because when Representative Pringle said, hey, he's going to pre-file a bill, he came by the show to talk about it, I was expecting to see something in there that had handles. And handles is just a term I use in legislation, or maybe it's a weakness, an Achilles heel. where you'll go, those things are good, but now you're going to overly discriminate for one group or another. You're giving a different qualification to one group or another. And that's usually where my support for things falls away. I'm one of those old school ideas where I want things to be even. I don't want to prefer one American over another. Well, in his legislation, there's none of that. It is not. It makes no judgment. It doesn't say that if somebody's transgender, they don't get to compete in athletics. They can in the athletics for the sex that was on their birth certificate. Okay, so it's not telling this that because of them, you know, in a transition or whatever it is, they'll never be able to do sports. It says you can't go play. You can't go play as a girl if you were on your birth certificate a boy. You can't go play as a boy if on your birth certificate it was a girl. Although the situation where you have people playing in co-ed teams or like a football team that has, you just have a football team, right? You don't have the boys' football team. And you have stories about girls that play in those teams that are fantastic. Great. Cool. It doesn't keep that from happening. Mark's text earlier said there are states that are allowing parents to choose gender after the baby is born. Alabama will have to address that at some point. I heard, is that law now, or is it just a push? I know there's something out of Texas where they were talking about it. Maybe it is law. I didn't know that they had actually codified it, or they were just talking about it. But here's what I see happening, and maybe you disagree or agree, 343-0106. Does this discourage, and is it widespread now? No. It's not widespread. I mean, I've got children in athletics. I mean, but who knows what happens in 5 years, 10 years, 15 down the road. If there were these situations like the Connecticut story and the Kentucky story where, you know, young ladies just felt like they had no chance of being, maybe they were the best at whatever the sport would be, and then you have somebody come in who was born a male and now has transitioned and says they're female and playing in the sport, and they never, no matter what they do, they're not at the number one position where they might have been before. Does that disincentivize participation in high school and middle school team sports? I mean, that's not good. That's not good. I mean, people talking about Title IX and issues like that. I want to encourage. Hey, I got one of each. Got a daughter and a son, and I want my daughter to succeed the same way I want my son to succeed. Team sports are a good thing. Even though there's not probably a huge threat, maybe there is, but of the Sullivan children, it's not like they're a chip off some old D1 block, right? So maybe they may, you know, throw some old recessive gene and be incredible athletes, but the benefit of just learning skills through team sports, pick a sport, whatever it is that you learn, and the fun of it, you know, there's that fun thing. I don't want a situation that would discourage girls from getting involved. Get involved in the sport with the idea, even if, I mean, everybody's not going to be number one. That's the way it goes. But if you at least can believe that you have a chance to get into the mix. All right. Let's see here. All right. Look at here. Okay. Are you saying, so my buddy George saying R&R and Mudbugs delivery? Are you telling me, George, that they do, or that would be, because you said, hell yeah, and I second that, but is that a thing? Does that happen? Unnamed texter says DoorDash delivers Cravers, if that helps. Sure it does. Okay, here we go. Chris, thank you. Waiter delivers crawfish. So there are some people out there doing it. So that's good. So we know that Waiter will deliver crawfish from, I guess, the location of our choice. This is fantastic. We need to get cracking on this. We need to, during the show, at some point, we need to have crawfish delivered here to the studio. I think that'll work. Sure, it'll be a little messy in the studio, but it's a small price to pay. All right, to the phones, and Michael in Mobile is first up. Hey, Michael.
Hey, buddy. How you doing today?
I'm doing good, man. So what's your take on this?
My take on this is, you know, God made human beings the way that they are. So, I mean, you know, back 20 years ago, back in school, I'm 36 years old, back in school, we never had this problem, never. And it's just, it almost seems like since the far left started this with the gay movement and everything like that, and transgender, it's just, it's made its way to this now.
Okay, but here's... Okay, you mentioned gay movement. I don't see... And a lot of people try to equate the two, and I don't. Because I'm a person who believes in people's rights and equal rights. And that's one of the reasons I've been for getting the state out of the business of marriage for a long time. It's a situation where, in this case, though, you want rights... The transgender person has all the right in the world to participate in the sport of the sex that they were born. I'm not... Absolutely. This bill is not taking away their right to do that. This isn't even a judgment about transgender. It's not a... You protect people, give them, even pun intended, even playing field. But when you let somebody who is a boy, all of a sudden, and I know it seems like this argument goes one way, but it mostly does, a boy all of a sudden say that they are a girl, they're transitioning into a girl and compete in girls' sports, and here they have 30 pounds of muscle that they built up before they took the estrogen, they've got the advanced size, it's not fair. It is not fair to the young ladies playing the sports.
Absolutely. It is not right at all, because, it dominates the sport whenever somebody does that. And to dominate a sport like that, like Representative Pringle was talking about, when you take these supplements and everything, testosterone, and a lot of people do it illegally, but, black market. But when they do that, it sets up it's very hard for the girls to compete against that. I'm 100% on your side on that.
Yeah, what if we all said, okay, because I'm talking about just defining yourself. So let's say we're boxing or we're wrestling where we got weight classes. And all of a sudden I said, I define myself. I'm 250, but I feel like I'm 150. So I'm gonna wrestle in the lower weight class. All the people that are 150 are going to be like, dude, I'm not in there. That guy's 250.
Right.
Look at him. He's going to smash me.
and see, the thing is there's a lot of people they do that. They go in for novice and stuff like that, knowing that they could win that to put themselves in that position to where they could move forward.
That's cheating.
Scholarships are taken away and all that,
Yeah, and that keeps the people that are the best at their weight class or whatever from being able to be the champion of their weight class.
Absolutely.
Well said, Michael. Appreciate the call. I'll grab another one here fast. Leroy in Theodore is up next. Hey, Leroy.
Hey, Sean, what's going on, brother?
You, brother.
Hey, man, I got the answer to this problem.
Thank goodness. Let me get my pen. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, just start a third class. Have the boys' track, the women's track, and then the mixed track, and see how that works out.
Okay, so there would be, instead of, it would just be everybody in. And so in that mixed track, if a boy or a girl or somebody who is trans woman or trans man everybody could go in and compete.
That's right, and it would be fair across the board.
That's too simple.
Just compete in your weight class, in your class, which is open. It's trans. Wear what you want, be what you want. Just compete and show what you got.
Okay, so this is
let it stand on its own. If people come to watch it, then fine. If not, it dies on the vine.
So we'd have a third. I'm following you. I like this. So there would be, let's say, track. It's a boys' track. It's girls' track. It's open track.
There you go. We could sell more uniforms, sell more tickets, more popcorn. It's MAGA.
I love it. Leadboard, thank you.
Have a blessed day, Sean.
Hey, you too, man. See, solutions. That's what I'm talking about. I open division. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's just that. We say, listen, you could be, boys can be in, that are born boys can be in boys, girls it can be, that are born girls can be in girls, and everybody can be in the open division. We're on to something. Thank you, Leadboard. 12:50. Be right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
And we're getting lots of info here, Dalton, on how to have crawfish delivered. I like this. I like the idea of just like looking up, and here comes the person. They pull up. I don't know what kind of container. When there's usually like the insulated bags for people delivering your food. I don't know how they do it with crawfish. Maybe just a big like waterproof insulated bag and roll in with the crawfish. That'd be awesome. In offices and shops, job sites all over Mobile and Baldwin County. Boom, crawfish right there for lunchtime. Good stuff. Now Don says, okay. It says, Sean Dalton, I say your listeners go start a GoFundMe page on the website so y'all can have a big crawfish boil one afternoon in the parking lot of your radio station. I'm in for $20. All right, Don, we'll do that. I got a big boiling pot at the house and the propane cooker, so we can do that. Bring it up here, and we can do like a midday mobile crawfish cooking because I got to get ready. I hope this year I'll be invited back to the crawfish eating competition. It's put on to benefit the Exporium. Awesome charity, awesome place. Last year, they did not have the crawfish eaten. I think it did somehow, or they shut it down because people were mad that I had won for so many years in a row. And, oh, Dalton, our buddy John Felsher, who you hear Outdoors Tips here on the station, new feature, and he's going to join Mike Ward and I tomorrow on the Outdoor Show. John Felsher from South Louisiana started talking trash in here the other day and said, like, I had no chance against him in a crawfish eating contest. Isn't that cute? All right. Yeah, a lot of people reacting to Leroy's idea about you have the boys' sports, girls' sports, and open sports, open or mixed track. Now, Ben says, is mixed track like a mixed tape? Now, I think it's a little different. Tony is saying that I'm going to be watching the Trans Olympics. Tony, what time's that on? What time's I probably get great ratings. Great ratings on there. All right. Let's go to the phones here. And Gray is in Mobile first up. Hey, Gray.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. So, thank goodness, the opinion of a female here. Thank goodness. All right. So, walk us through this. This bill that would let girls compete against other, people who are born girls, and boys against people who are born boys. What do you think?
I think that's a great idea because females have worked so hard for equal rights and to get equal playing fields as males. And I feel that with school and scholarships, that puts females at a disadvantage because if they play as a female, then they get scholarships as a female.
You know, and that's one thing, too. I can only imagine the frustration of a young lady who had been working and been the best at whatever the sport is she does. Then here comes a guy in who just now identifies as a girl, maybe he's taken the estrogen for a year or whatever, but has that body size and that advantage, and now that young lady that's worked her whole time to be the best at this thing doesn't get the scholarship, doesn't get the big award.
Yes, and sometimes, that's the only way they get to college and get to better themselves and to know that a male that feels like he's a female gets that over him, what does she become? And like I said, they fought so hard for the right to vote and the right to be equal and the right to just have these scholarships to go to these schools, and now the transgenders are going to come in, males, with all the body weight and get these scholarships. Where does that put women?
Great questions, Greg. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Craig in Gulf Shores. Hey, Craig.
All right, so this is kind of the point. So if girls are allowed to compete in football,
okay,
should boys be allowed to compete in volleyball, which is only offered for girls?
Yeah, I wondered about that, because somebody had said, I think at that meeting the other day, they said, in boys volleyball, I said, what? I guess anybody out there who coaches volleyball, what if you had a boy who wanted to be on the girls volleyball or the volleyball team? You're right, because there's not a boys volleyball. Maybe out in some beach town or somewhere in California they have boys volleyball. I don't know.
And a lot of states they do, but not in Alabama.
Okay, so let's keep it to Alabama. So there's not. So should this is a good question. If a boy wanted to and it was good at it, right, should they be able to, just like if you have a girl who's great, a great kicker, right? There's stories about girls who are great kickers getting on football teams and really making a great difference there. So should a boy be able to do that? I don't know. What do you think, Craig?
Well, the net height is slightly different in boys and women. It's like 6 inches shorter for women. So a talented male volleyball player would have, and I don't think it would be fair, but it should be allowed.
Okay. All right. This is, and I wonder if, I'm sure in this audience, because Holy cow, y'all are smart audience and all over in different jobs. So, does somebody ever run into this? Can we answer Craig's question? And my question, too, what would a coach do for the volleyball team if a boy went to play? That's interesting. Craig, thank you for the call. All right, I tell you what, y'all hold on because it's not fair. We're right up against the news break, but we'll come back because it takes some more calls on this. Also, some crawfish talk. Don't get me started on crawfish talk. We could do that for the next hour. I've got just a hankering. I don't know if I'll make it. I will not make it to the house before I stop and get crawfish. I have a feeling today. It's just hitting me hard on this big time. We didn't even get a chance to. Well, we'll do it this next hour. The vasectomy bill. With all the stuff going on in Montgomery, why not throw that one into it, too? That a bill that was presented by State Rep. Rolanda Hollis out of Birmingham would mandate every Alabama man undergo a vasectomy within 1 month of your 50th birthday or the birth of his third biological child, whichever comes first. You ready for that, guys? I know there's probably some guys raising their hand. Yeah, get me.